Okay, everybody, welcome to Remedial Roll. I'm Jeff.
I'm Alex.
I'm Chris.
And tonight we're going to be talking about some world building. So, as I think we mentioned on the last podcast, this game is taking place in the same world as another game that we play. And we have pulled a piece of it away, kind of a large island off of the continent that we've decided to kind of play with this, and that Chris is going to develop more or less on his own. For the events and history and lore and city and things like that. So it's probably, if the main continent of Storm is roughly the size of North America, then this area that we're talking about now is roughly the size of Greenland, or some, you know, something similar to that. So that's it. But I guess we want to just jump in with Chris.
Yeah, and I guess today we're probably not going to talk so much about world building, but I think we're just going to talk about city building.
City building,
right?
Okay.
Keep it small.
Start small, go big.
Start small. And that
which is
right
good
there
advice
is,
in and of itself.
That's the trick right there. Start small. So I don't know about you, because you've done some world building, Chappie, but when I started, I was like, where do I start? Like, I had no clue where to even start thinking about, because you have all these ideas floating in your head, and you don't know where to get going.
Sure.
So I looked on the internet for pictures. And I literally took, I knew I wanted a city.
Right.
You know, and so I just looked at medieval fantasy cities. And I just started scrolling through pretty quickly until one just like jumped out. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And that was the starting point for me making Cliffbreaker. Because I needed something in my head to kind of start the vision.
Right.
And then after that, it was starting to build itself to some extent.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with Alftrag. As I really started with, I don't even know what brought this up for me, but I really, for some reason, liked the idea of a walled city that kind of formed a star. And that's really what threw me into then. Okay, so if it's a star, then I thought, okay, each point would be a tower. If there's a tower on each end, what do those represent? And so then I got into the idea of guilds. And then I got into the idea of you know, just the number 5 and what would make the number holy. And so that got me into the calculites and into that got me into the algorithms. And it just kind of, once you start riffing on an idea, pretty soon it becomes really difficult to narrow that down. And pretty soon you've got a ton of stuff going. So
yeah,
it
and
was
in the past,
really good.
In the past, when I've been GM to build cities and stuff, I take it from the literature, books and things
sure,
that I've
sure.
read.
Yep.
At least the ideas of a certain city, or maybe I pinpoint one idea that I want in my city, and then I build the city around that. But getting back to Cliffbreaker, what did you do next? I mean, you saw the picture, and you, if I recall, you came up with the name pretty quickly.
The name flew into my head because it literally looked like a city that had just like fallen from the sky and slammed down to the edge of this mountain on the side of a cliff. And I was like, it kind of looked like it broke into the mountain, so I said Cliffbreaker. And I loved it had, the picture had a river going through the city and then falling off in a waterfall, and that just kind of inspired me too. So then that kind of made me think, like, how would a place like that end up there? And what type of people would establish themselves on the edge of this cliff in these harsh mountain environments? Because, you know, you think about mountains, and in my vision, the D&D world, that's where all the bad guys hang out. That's where all the monsters and the weird creatures go to get away.
Giants.
Giants and stuff. So here you got this city established in this rough terrain, rough environment, and then that, of course, had me fall back to my love of dwarves. I think dwarves are awesome. I don't feel like people ever play dwarves in games a lot, and I got this vision of these group of hardy dwarves that kind of scraped out a living in this place, and slowly over time it built itself into the city, and so that helped me start to venture into my lore of kind of what starred the city. I'm sure that's a little bit of a Lord of the Rings influence, but you know what? You can try to be, sometimes I get worried, oh, am I copying this idea from this idea, or I want to be completely original. You just got to start with some ideas, and you'll
steal
make them original.
Tweak.
Yep.
Steal
and then
a
you'll,
tweak.
You'll make them, you tweak them until they become your own idea to
yeah.
some extent. So.
And so that's why a lot of the creatures that we've seen, or a lot of I guess people that we've seen so far in these two sessions were we've seen orcs, we've seen, which are not usually a creature that walks around a town and sits in a bar and drinks.
You don't think of them as civilized.
Right. Civilized, there you go. What else have we seen? All kinds of rare creatures that
we've seen. A Kenku. We've seen a lot of gnomes. We've seen. Well, you're a Tortle. I don't know how much that has to do with where we are, but
Tieflings.
I was going to ask you that. That brought up a good question for me. Is I, as a PC who is playing a human, humans are typically, you know, they go just about anywhere, and they're pretty well, you know, they're pretty common, they're pretty well received. What made you decide to kind of make them the outcasts of the city?
I mean, I like playing humans. And especially in 5e, I feel like you can do a lot with the human character.
Oh, yeah.
But I just, I honestly thought of the Old West a little bit, and these towns that kind of got some of your villains who started some of these towns. Like if you look back at the Old West heroes, a lot of those, what we call heroes, were had a little bit of a villainous side, a little bit of a dark past that
kind
made them
the
who
anti-hero.
They are. Yeah, kind of a little bit of the anti-hero. And it was a hodgepodge of people from all over trying to scrape out a living. So that's kind of what I envisioned for this. And I just love the idea of this motley group of individuals with even some fiendishness to some of the population, but they're all kind of forced to work together to some extent and live in some sort of peace and order just to scrape out a living where they're at. So
that's in my head, Cliffbreaker is a little bit like Tortuga, the pirate capital, you know, where all the
I kind of had that. Yeah, I feel the same way.
It's got that feeling of everyone's welcome except maybe the humans, which would be like the civilized people.
Well, the humans,
everyone to
elsewhere.
One degree or another is a bit roguish as well.
Yeah, right.
And humans own so much already.
Yeah,
that they're starting to push some of these other groups to the edge of society, and so they've kind of formed a strong place, you know. I will say, I think when you start building a city, I forget where I read this advice, but I read some advice, make sure that you give it some sort of general government, how it's run. Is it going to be a city of order? Is it going to be a city of a little bit of chaos with lack of order? Like, what type of structure do you want to have? So for Cliffbreaker, I made it a place that was highly organized in that it's got a strong city guard that kind of keeps the peace, because you can imagine it's got rough clientele around, rough population. So kind of figure out what you want in your city in that respect. Religion-wise, is there one religion? Is there multiple religions? How open are they to that? Is there one type of magic guild that rules the place, or is it a hodgepodge? You got to make those some of those basic decisions going on. And then you've got to pick, I think, you don't have to know all the shops and things like that, but you've got to establish a couple places that your adventurers are definitely going to want to visit. So a place to buy magic items and magic weapons and potions, a blacksmith if they want. You got to establish some of those basic buildings and shops.
Even if it's just a list, like I keep just a list of names. Some of them are kind of punny. Like I read on the D&D DM site one called Gnome Depot, which I won't get to eventually. you know, there's Bloodbath and Beyond, things like, you know, things that are really punny. And things that are, you know, a little straighter. But even having that, and, you know, if you've got that and just a list of generic NPC names and you throw the two together, you can pull a shopkeeper out of thin air if you need to.
Yeah.
Or you can have a really deep backstory for them as well. And that gets a little more into NPC creation than world building. But,
Yeah, but you want some basic shops because they can be anywhere in the town. That you can take them anywhere for those shops. And so that helps. And then, it's a matter. It's a slow build. You don't have to build the whole city in a day. You don't have to have your city or your world done. You build a small section of it, and then when the adventurers start to head to another place, you start to build that area as well. So, if we think about most cities we've read about, or most cities that we've even played in other adventures, you don't learn everything about the city,
right?
You know, but you do need to have a general idea of what's the law and order going to be like in the city? Is there a city guard? How strong is the city guard? What's the underbelly? Is there an underbelly to the city? What are the challenges the city might face? Do they have another city nearby that might be causing some issues with them? In the case of Cliffbreaker, they don't have any cities nearby, but the environment itself is harsh.
Sure.
So.
Or, yeah, like you say, is it a city-state? Is it part of a larger nation? If so, how does that government work?
Yeah. Just some basic stuff so you kind of can know how the characters, what they might expect when they come across others.
Also, maybe some uniqueness. You said there's a river going through the middle of town, and that falls off the side of the cliff. So that's kind of a unique feature. Whether we know that they use that to get rid of criminals or people that are no longer going to be in town.
Is there industry there? Do we launch airships from there? All kinds of things.
What's under the town? Is it connected to the rest of the mountain? Are there sewers? Like things like that are also ideas that you want to kind of keep in mind for future adventures.
Well, and that's the great thing is your city is never done, right? Because in every sewer system, you can always find a broken in area of the sewer system that leads to caverns. It goes to a drow city or something like that. Like, you can always expand your city. It can always get bigger because there's always places to go with it.
Even if it can, even if you're the bottled city of Kandor or whatever, it's still always changing. I mean, I've lived in this town for 10 plus years and it is constantly changing.
Yeah.
But the city boundaries haven't really changed that much. So.
You know, I've never thought about this. What would be the idea of creating a city knowing that you're going to destroy it within the first 5 or 6 sessions? Mm. Like, that's a whole nother way to take a city. Build a quick, easy city. Why are you smiling? Chappie, why are you smiling?
Enjoying my time talking to you, gentlemen.
The idea of just, you know, you have a city and then within a very short amount of time, it gets destroyed. Like, that's a whole place to go to, so.
Well, kiddies, look forward to episode 6 where Cliffbreaker falls off of the mountain.
No,
that's
right.
And we sail down with it and it crashes into the sea.
And it's over. not so much.
All right,
then
guys.
It floats away and makes its own island. See?
That's right.
There
whole,
we go.
Whole
yeah.
new story.
Yeah.
The floating city of Cliffbreaker.
What?
There we go.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
and really, we're all living on the back of a turtle out in space. Okay.
Okay, well, that took a
all right, that's
turn.
Way too much real life.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you for joining us on this episode, this bonus episode. Stay tuned, and more episodes coming your way.